armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to stay
idea?
For pump
call.
Really, this is
you
what you're
have
doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like?
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. We are about 15 hours from the trade deadline. That can only mean one thing. AA has only began to wheel and deal.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you're having a great Monday as we are so close to the trading deadline. I think everybody can feel it. Everybody can sense that something big is going to happen for your Atlanta Braves. It always does. The Braves, for folks who maybe don't know or maybe just forget, and you forget how this always plays out, Anthopoulos always, and I mean always, ends up doing something at the last minute, at the last bit. If you missed our show earlier today, we kind of went over all the stuff, but let's go into what's crack-a-lacking in the world of sports. Yesterday, the Angels got a hold of Randall Grichuk, outfielder, and first baseman CJ Cron from the Rockies, so they added some good bats. And they're trying to show Shohei Ohtani, who Angels and company are heading to Atlanta, to take on the Braves tonight. 7:20 first pitch right here on Braves Country HD. Find us on YouTube today. So you're going to see an Angels team that you're probably going to see guys leaving the dugout and whatnot, because they've got their core. They're going to make the run, but there are moves that are going to be made, and they may be dealing guys away. They may be buying and selling at the same time, trying to help out their strengths and weaknesses. And you're also talking about a team that is still, what, 4 or 5 games back of the wild card, but there's plenty of time to go. We were talking about almost 60 games left in the season. There's plenty of time for the Angels. With that being said, this is a very, very backed into a corner type of team that's coming into Truist Park tonight. And we're going to get into the series here in a second. But even though our record is much better than the Angels, I just would say we need to proceed with caution, because this Angels team, every game is enormously important to them, whereas the Braves have a heck of a cushion. So the other thing, the Mets are selling off. Last time we talked to y'all, on Friday, if you weren't with us for the broadcast over the weekend, the Mets have traded away Max Scherzer. Of course, earlier before that was Thursday that they made the trade for David Robertson. We're expecting more trades for the Mets. I expect Canyon to leave. I expect Pham to be gone. I expect them to try to move Verlander, but that one's going to be tough. We laid that out. If you want more detail of that, grab the show on YouTube. We came on 11 a.m. and we'll be going 11 a.m. to noon every, well, it's not quite noon, but 11 a.m. we'll come on on Mondays. And then when football season gets a little closer, we're going 11 a.m. on Thursdays. And basically that is so that we can do enough baseball content and football content between the two-hour show. We go 3 to 5 here. And also, you got college football, you got the NFL, you got October coming up. So those shows at 11 a.m. on Mondays and Thursdays are primarily going to be nothing but Braves and baseball talk that we'll continue to talk baseball on the 3 to 5 show. Just wanted to have – we're going to run out of time. There's just it is what it is. You got so much going on in the world of sports. The Hall of Fame game is this week in the National Football League. More on that in 1 second. The Dodgers, you got to figure that they're going to continue to buy. You missed this yesterday. J.D. Martinez and Will Smith were both pulled from the game after a few innings. Will Smith because of a hit by pitch, and J.D. Martinez was because of a hamstring issue. So depending on how serious they think those are, the Dodgers are going to continue to buy. These are all things that happen right before the deadline that make a big, big difference. Rangers made another big trade over the weekend. They got Montgomery from the Cardinals, the left-handed Jordan Montgomery. Of course, they'd already added Max Scherzer. So they had a couple of veterans that they think are going to help them get to the next step. I don't think they are lights out type of additions, but they are definitely good starters that can help them possibly win their division. And I think that's what they're really focusing on, is trying to go all in, win their division, and then go from there. See how far they can go. I do find it odd and strange that they went out and got DeGrom. He didn't work out so far because of the injury, so they went out and got another Mets reject in Max Scherzer. So that is what it is. And news for your Atlanta Braves. We made an addition today. We're adding A.J. Minter back to the roster. He had a couple of stints on, was it Friday? And I want to say Wednesday. Wednesday and Friday were the 2 days that he pitched down in AAA. Had a couple of good outings. Max Fried will be heading back to us this week. My guess would be Friday. It could be Saturday. But regardless, Max Fried will be back on the bump for the Braves. And remember, those games are all day games. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day games. 2:21st pitch. We'll have every game. We're going to have every game this week on Braves Country HD. Tonight, 7:20. Tomorrow night, 7:20 against the Angels. Wednesday is 12:20, an early pitch. I don't know why they got to start that early after the night game in Atlanta. I really think they should revisit that. And if they're in love with that 2:20 after nonsense that they do, can we get a 1:20 first pitch? Can we get a 2:20 first pitch? These are the types of things that I think add to why we are so bad in day games in the middle of the week. And then we go to Chicago, and we're going to be in Wrigley Field, so it's 2:20 Friday, 2:20 Saturday, 2:20 Sunday. We're going to bring all three of those games to you. So we're excited about this week, and of course with the trading deadline, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where baseball takes center stage until the end of October. And yeah, football shows up, but let's be honest, the football games, as important as they can be, they take a little bit of a backseat to baseball when it comes to September and October, because you're talking about chasing down a championship, the football championships. When we get into November, we're going to be doing a lot more football. In fact, we're going to do some football play-by-plays for you as the season gets a little more more aggressive. And if you've seen some of the opening schedules for the college teams this year, man, there's some dud weekends. There are some dud weekends. You'll have a few good games, but my God. I'm so ready for them to go into just one big conference in college football and put all your major players in. Grab the 50 best teams in America, put them in one conference, and quit playing these just duds the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season. The only other thing that's really going down in the world of sports before we switch gears into the Braves-Angels series is Broncos wide receiver Tim Patrick is believed to have an Achilles, torn Achilles. This guy cannot stay healthy. This could be the end of his career. It's a sad, sad thing. The Colts, of course, we'll talk to Joey Moore about this tomorrow. The Colts, I tried to tell him about his little freaking drunk, you know, nutso owner that he has in Jerm Irsay. Well, Irsay has now ran Jonathan Taylor out of town, and he'll continue to be an absolute dumpster fire as he said some things he shouldn't have said. Knowing him, he's probably had one too many the night before, still fighting it off, and he kind of let everybody know what he really thinks, and that's never a good thing if you're one of these owners. Also, to that note, as Taylor is on his way out of Indianapolis, Zach Moss, the running back, he broke his arm. So there you have that. And then, of course, the NFL preseason, though not that exciting, it does begin Thursday night, Jets and Browns Hall of Fame game. I guess with the Braves being off, I'll probably tune in a little bit, but I mean, what is it? Maybe a series that you care about that? I mean, come on. Preseason football is less meaningful than spring training baseball. It's less meaningful than the spring game in college football. I don't think anything's less meaningful than preseason NBA, but NFL is really close. We won't see anything. We're not going to see Aaron Rodgers out there. Lord, if Aaron Rodgers is out there for the Jets on Thursday night, it's to just go out there and take a snap and take a knee and walk off the field. There would be no reason to put him in there. Jets and Browns Hall of Fame game should be a good crowd because you got a lot of Jets. You got the Browns offensive lineman going into the Hall of Fame. So fun weekend for Jets and Browns fans. But I am more interested in the following week when we get the Dolphins and Falcons on that Friday night, though we won't see a lot. It's more when you get towards the end of the preseason, because what we've seen now with the NFL is the game two is the most important one. Everything else is a dress rehearsal. Okay, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Braves, Angels, what all this means, and of course, the deadline is coming up. Tick-tock, we've got to get on the ball. We got to get two main things. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Braves Country. Tones is on the way as well.
You're arrested for bribery? Can't you just bribe your way out? I mean, you're a briber. That's what you do.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio, living in an era of baseball where the impossible is unfolding right before our eyes.
Salvador Perez, the 2-2. San Francisco Giants for the third time in the last 5 years, and their hero, Madison Bumgarner.
The 1-2 again.
Inside corner! The Royals, 2015 World Champion. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all!
But the game right now is at the plate.
Armchair.
The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, in Noonan, Georgia. home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
I was on Happy Days for 10 years. I committed hubris. I thought not that I was great, but that it was such a big show and it was so international.
It was everywhere.
That I was going to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. I was going to beat the system.
Yep.
I looked down and there were grass stains on the knees of my jeans. It was very difficult to get hired as an actor. And I had no plan B. I had no idea how or what to do next.
Was the show being so syndicated everywhere on all the time, was that a reminder?
No, they did a good job of reminding me all on their own.
You're in Braves Country.
Welcome in Braves Country. As we are, we're kind of sitting here waiting to see if there's any big splashes that happen. Until then, let's go ahead and go over the Braves starting lineup for tonight. We'll do all the numbers and everything right before the game. First pitch right here, 7:20 on Braves Country HD. Make sure to like and subscribe today. But tonight, the lineup, well, more of the same. And I guess with the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You got the same exact lineup that you've had every day. I do find it interesting that Travis d'Arnaud is starting tonight and not Sean Murphy. So maybe Sean Murphy just needs a break. As far as I know, I'm going to kind of look around for that, but it's Travis d'Arnaud. But you get these dog days of summer, I'm totally fine with having d'Arnaud and Murphy kind of go back and forth. Because what at this point where we are adding in the standings, now granted we do want to win the not just the division, but we want the very best record in Major League Baseball. But Murphy really hasn't been hitting that well. I think with the new base paths, the catcher, it helps a little to have a better defensive catcher back there, but folks are stealing on him as well. They're stealing on all catchers. So I don't know if it's really that necessary to have a great defensive catcher. That'll be interesting to see if that's a thing that plays out down the road where folks just start kind of abandoning the idea of having a great defensive catcher, because there are several throws this year that I've seen Sean Murphy make that last year he would have gotten them, and this year they're barely getting in. So they're getting a huge advantage with the new rules and the bigger bases. So that could play into it as well, but it could just be an old-fashioned he needs a day off, or let's start doing some maintenance. But Travis d'Arnaud is in there. Marcell Ozuna has been smoking hot, hit four home runs over the weekend. He's the designated hitter. And Rosario, who continues to be very hot or very cold, is number seven in left field. Orlando's eighth and Harris's ninth. And, of course, the top four have not changed. It's Acuna, Albies, Riley, Olson, and then d'Arnaud, Ozuna, Rosario, Arcia and Harris. Charlie Morton's on the bump tonight. Charlie Morton, I would suspect that he's going to pitch well. He kind of struggled a little bit in his last outing, and he doesn't tend – Charlie Morton, normally when he throws a dud, he finishes it up with something very sharp. So, and if you look at the line for tonight, the Atlanta Braves are big favorites once again, and why wouldn't they be? And they'll be going up against the Angels, who probably won't have Otani. They might have Otani in the lineup, but it's going to come down to like a game time decision on that one. He left yesterday's game because of cramps. Now, obviously, cramps are not anything that puts you out long term, but they may want to get him hydrated. He does only play the DH, but if they don't have Otani in the lineup tonight, big advantage for Atlanta. Because if you don't follow it, Michael Trout's been on the IL for 3+ weeks, 3.5 weeks, and he still has another about. They're expecting him back in about 3 weeks. So between that, Griffin Canning's on the mound, by the way, for the Angels, and he's a pretty good pitcher. But I do think that the Braves will get to him, and will be able to take advantage of the Angels bullpen once they get into that. I would kind of be a little shocked if Atlanta doesn't get a big win here tonight, because they are going into tonight after sweeping Milwaukee, starting to get back on that roll again. And usually when they get on a roll, they get on a roll. So we'll see how it plays out tonight, but I would suspect that they're going to go out there and have a very good night again tonight. And like I said, it's minus 212 now. It was minus 206 on the money line, so we'll have to see how it plays out, but I would think that they're going to be in a prime form and get the W tonight. I'll do my picks to click and everything else here in a little bit. But looking around, too, you look at some of the props, if you're curious about that for tonight's game with Braves and Angels. So the run line is minus 110, and that's usually – normally when you get a run line in Major League Baseball, which is normally -1.5 runs, and you got to beat that run line. Typically, you get plus money. Well, this is minus 110, so that tells you once again where they think Griffin Canning is going to be able to adjust to the Braves lineup. I would suspect, because we don't have a lot of familiarity with them, that the first time through the lineup is going to be a little tough, but then after that, when they see him that second time, he's a guy that, if you look at his overall numbers, Griffin Canning is a solid pitcher, but he's got a 4.46 ERA. And a 4.46 ERA combined with the fact that he's a right-handed pitcher, the Braves have been roasting right-handed pitchers. He's got, now we'll say this, he's got the strikeout pitch in his pocket. He's got 91 strikeouts through 84 innings. That's impressive. But he's also given up 16 home runs. Now, if you want to compare that against Charlie Morton, Charlie Morton has only given up 10, and he has pitched almost 30 more innings. So that kind of tells you right there where the mindset is with the betting public, is the fact that they should be able to absolutely smoke him. Now, I hope Otani's in the lineup for all three games. I want to see him go up against the crafty Charlie Morton, and then who the hell doesn't want to see Shohei Otani tomorrow night versus Spencer Strider? I mean, come on. Let's go. I can't wait to see that matchup. So if we have to pick one or the other, let him sit tonight, and let's get him in there tomorrow. But, and even if he doesn't start, he could always pinch hit. But I would really love to see the matchup between him and Morton, but even more so him and Strider. Spencer Strider is tomorrow night. Charlie Morton's tonight. And as of right now, it's Yanni Chernus for Wednesdays. But that's assuming we don't make a move, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's a very good chance that Yanni is DFA'd. I think there's a very good chance that Yanni is put in the bullpen before Wednesday. He went out. If not, when you see Yanni go to the bump and you say, man, he's starting again today. Remember something. Yanni on the mound is basically a glorified bullpen game. They hope to get four innings out of him. They hope to get through the lineup twice. But if you watched the game the other night or listened to it, you know that he's not blowing anybody away. Yanni Chernus did what he was supposed to do. Went out there. Braves got the win. You love that. But he only made it about four innings. And the moment that lineup hit the bottom of the lineup the second time, because I thought they might let him go out there and try to finish the inning. They said, nope, you're out of here, my man. And he was gone. They did not want him seeing the lineup a third time. There were times where you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't even know if you want to see him see the lineup a second time. Because he does not blow you away. He's got a very low 90s sinker. He's got an off-speed pitch that they were calling a slider that's really more of a, it's as opposed to a slider, it's almost like a slow splitter. And the second time through the lineup, they were tagging him. So we'll see what happens with Wednesday. But my guess is if we don't make a major move, or we can make a major move and he still has to pitch Wednesday, because you don't know how that'll line up. You can make a trade for a guy today, but if he just pitched yesterday or the day before, he's not going to be ready by Wednesday. And then at that point, you're going to have to make a decision. I think the next guy to be off the roster would probably be Hernandez. If y'all missed it last night, the Atlanta Braves did make a trade. They got the kid Lopez, Nicky Lopez. He's a backup infielder. He'll be coming over from the Kansas City Royals. And they traded Taylor Hearn for him. Taylor Hearn was being sent down to AAA, and they instead made the trade and moved him. Those corresponding moves, they DFA Charlie Culberson. We'll see if he makes it back around and gets into the system. We'll see how that plays out. But he is gone. A.J. Smith-Shawver is gone. He's back down to the minors. And A.J. Minter, so it's A.J. for A.J. We get A period, J period, back in the bullpen, and A.J., SS, the SSAJ heads back down to Gwinnett, where he'll continue to develop. I do think we'll see another start from Shawver, probably not until September, but I do believe that we'll see another start or two for him towards the end of the stretch. Because you got to look at it. If the Braves make it all the way to, we'll say they have a double-digit lead and they have a comfortable lead middle of September, right? He'll probably get two starts to finish the season off. And you never know, he may be a guy that they pull out of the bullpen or an emergency start. The year we won it in 21, everyone remembers, nobody thought that two of the big keys to getting us through that World Series were going to be guys like Kyle Wright and Dylan Lee. And Dylan Lee is expected to be back pretty soon. His rehab is going well. So hopefully they get him back, and hopefully they get the entire team back here. Kyle Wright, it's sounding more and more like it's going to be sometime in September. We were hoping for mid to late August. It's looking more like September. Maybe it might even be middle of September. Kyle Wright may not be on the roster in October, because if he doesn't get back soon, you got to have the guy on the roster heading into September 1st. If he doesn't get back soon, they'll just be developing him to be ready for next year. Or if there were an injury, you could slide him in. But that's a lot of stuff to unpack right now. Tonight's game, the Braves heading into this. And you know, tomorrow, by the way, before I finish that thought, tomorrow is a pretty good pitching magic. Patrick Sandoval, you'll see his numbers. You won't be blown away by it. He's 6-7 with a 4.13 ERA against Strider. But he's a pretty crafty veteran pitcher. So that's not going to be an automatic W. And Wednesday, right now, it's Yanni. But it very well could be someone else. And we're going up against Lucas Giolito. So we don't see Ohtani in this rotation. I really wanted to see Ohtani pitch. I would have loved to have seen what he could do against the Braves bats, but we're going to miss him by about a day. But I would love to have seen that. But anyways, Lucas Giolito, if you remember the Chicago series, we missed Giolito in the White Sox series. Well, now we're going to get him after he's been traded to the Angels. So there you have that. And if you're looking at the standings and whatnot in Major League Baseball, the Braves come in tonight 11.5 in front of Miami, 12 in front of Philadelphia. So they're sitting pretty right now. And the Braves' magic number is now 47. 47. So 47 is the magic number, which sounds like a lot, but all that means is we need a combination of wins and losses by the Atlanta Braves and at this point the Miami Marlins, but you can also put Philadelphia Phillies in that mix as they're only a half game back. So 47, 46 on the Phillies. 47 altogether is the magic number to win the division. And that could happen in a hurry. The Marlins, they've lost 6 of their last 10. The Phillies, they've lost 6 of their last 10. Braves have gone 6-4, but that was a very quiet last 10. The Braves have, I mean, if you look at it, we have a 65% winning percentage. So we're right on track. But remember, we started off kind of meh beginning of the season, and we have found a way to really turn it on from time to time. So if the Braves get hot here in this stretch, and we're going to go over their schedule real quick here in a second, but if the Braves get hot in this stretch, I mean, we could have that thing below 40 in about a week because it's a combination of how many wins we get and how many losses they get. So let's go ahead and look at real quick. We'll hit, I like to do this on Mondays leading into the week so you kind of have an idea of what your look ahead, your future. I hate saying future because it's really the future right in front of us, but what it's going to look like going forward here with the Atlanta Braves. And tonight, obviously, we've got the Angels. Tomorrow night, we've got the Angels. And Wednesday, we've got the Angels. Wednesday is a day game. Then we do get a day off, and I love that part because we're going to have 3 consecutive day games in Chicago. Now, our offense has kind of been quiet on day games, especially day games on the road in the week. But the fact that they are off, that they're getting an early day game on Wednesday, they're off on Thursday, and then they have a 2:20 start on Friday. There's really no excuses here. You got to go out there and play the damn games. We're going to go to Chicago for 3, to Pittsburgh for 4, and to the New York Mets for 4. One of those is a doubleheader. Saturday, August 12th, we'll carry both of those. The doubleheader against the Mets. So that's the immediate future for the Braves at the Cubs, at the Pirates, and at the Mets. Cubs are not going to be sellers. They may even be buyers. But Pittsburgh's going to sell if they can. New York is going to continue to sell if they can. And it's not like we're going to get an absolute nothing burger when we go into Pittsburgh and New York. But they're not adding reinforcements. So those are series that we should win. I'm not expecting us to go in there and just roll them up. But of the 8 games that we will play in Pittsburgh and in New York, I think it would be pretty reasonable to expect to win at least 5 of those, if not 6. It's a little tricky because of the one doubleheader. But I think that would be extremely reasonable to expect us to win 5 of 8 there. And you want to go into Chicago and win 2 of 3. So that takes you at what? 7 of 11. And then with the Angels, I always say I never project a sweep. So if we can get a series win there, 9 and 6 over our last 15. Nine and six over our last 15. Or next 15, excuse me. 9 and 6 would probably take your Atlanta Braves as we head into Monday, August 14th, so 2 weeks from today. You would probably be sitting there with a magic number somewhere in the mid-30s, mid to high 30s. Because after that, it gets a little more difficult with the teams that we play, but we do come home. This is going to be a long road trip that begins Friday. 3 in Chicago, 4 in Pittsburgh, 3 days but 4 games in New York. And that's going to be the toughest part of it because you're going to get to the end of a long road trip, dragging butt, and then you got a doubleheader thrown in there in August, one of them being a day game, obviously. So that's going to be a tough route. After that, we're going to come home and we're going to play the Yankees, who should still be in it. The Giants, who still should be in it. And then the Mets again. And then we'll go back out on another very tough road trip. And then after we get past this one road trip, the second road trip that's coming up, it gets a little more manageable. We are at San Francisco for 3. At Colorado for 3, which we always know, no matter how good or how bad Colorado is, when you play Colorado, as long as it's not cold out, which it shouldn't be at that time, your bullpen can get taxed. And this is before we get to the 40-man. And then we go and play the Los Angeles Dodgers August 31st, September 1st, which is when you can expand your rosters. And then September 2nd and 3rd. That's a tough, tough stretch. A tough, tough stretch where there is what? Essentially one? Is that right? One? Yeah, one day off. And that plays into it. I know people think this guy's going out there suiting up or just robots. And you're, you're getting paid to play a game. It doesn't matter. It's still it's a taxing sport on the body day in and day out. You go out there with that many games in a row and you're only getting what? Essentially one. You got a doubleheader in that mix. This is starting this coming Friday. You have a doubleheader in that mix and you've got one day off from Friday, August 4th, this coming Friday, to Thursday, August 17th. Wow. That's tough to do to a team. That is so tough to do to a Major League Baseball team. I don't care how damn good you are. In August, in the heat, the dog days of summer, they're going to be begging for August 17th to come around. Unless they get a rain out or two. But then you don't want that because then you got to deal with that at the end if it means anything. Home field advantage, they won't go back and replay it. They'll go off a winning percentage. So that's tough. It's really tough. When we come off of that, we're going to come home, and it's going to get a lot, I won't say easy, but it's a pretty smooth week after that. I mean, you're playing St. Louis, who are sellers, and Pittsburgh, who are sellers at home. You're going to play Philly and Miami and Philly. 3 series in a row where you play Phillies twice. But if we have a big enough lead in the division, it's not going to realistically matter. And after all that crap that we have to deal with, the good news is we finished the season, the last, what is it, 10 games of the season, seven of them will be against the Washington Nationals. Sandwiched in between that will be at home against the Cubs. But if the Cubs are not in it, then they'll be putting their scrubs out it. If the Cubs are in it, they'll be fighting tooth and nail. But at that point, if the Braves have everything wrapped up, they'll – what does it matter? So that's what we're looking at there with the Braves in the very near future and all the way down the stretch. But this is a tough stretch of the we kind of talked about this earlier in the year, but this is a tough stretch of the schedule. Basically, the month of August is going to be a bit of a grind. But if we can survive it, we play good baseball come September, especially that back half of the schedule, we should be able to start giving guys rest and get them ready for October. The game that we're going to be playing at that point, though, is, of course, last year, the whole rest versus rust. How much rest you want to give a guy? And that's just, I think that's an imperfect science. I think it's one of those things, going to be an individual guy from a game-to-game basis. If you're looking at the teams that are chasing us, so I'm going to pivot away from Miami and Philadelphia. By the way, they start a series tonight. But I'm going to pivot away from them, and let's talk about the teams that are chasing us down right now. The main one would be the Baltimore Orioles. They are, four behind us for the best record in baseball? This is what the Orioles have coming up against them. Tonight they're starting a series in Toronto, a four-game series. That's not going to be easy. Then they'll be at home against the Mets. They should be able to take care of business there. At home against the Astros will be a little tough. Then they go out on the West Coast, and even though Seattle and Oakland are out of it, essentially, and San Diego could be out of it at that point, they've got to go to Seattle, to San Diego, and to Oakland. And that is a tough stretch for young kids to go on a long road trip in the middle of August and expect to keep up the wins. They will then come home, and they do get a couple of days off during this, so that it's not quite as daunting a task as the Braves have. But they will come home, and they'll play Toronto again. Then they get kind of an easy break in their schedule. They're home against Colorado, the White Sox. But then they got to go out west again. So an East Coast team is going to go out west for five series in about a, let's see, is that 11th through the... In about a month span, essentially, about 20 of their games are going to be out west. They're going to go to Arizona and the Angels. Hopefully, the Angels are still playing for something, and they can help us out. They'll come home, but not yet, because they're going to fly back and they get a day off, but they're going to go to Boston. And that should be a big series for both teams. I would imagine Boston is still going to be in the playoff hunt. And then they come down the home stretch, and they'll be playing St. Louis, Tampa, who has their hands still in trying to win the division, Houston, Cleveland, Washington for a two-game set. It's so weird they're playing a two-game set on the final week of the season against a team that's not even in their division. And then four at home against the Red Sox. And if they have, let's say they have the division wrapped up, but they're still trying to chase us down for the best record, it really depends on if they think it's even remotely possible for it to happen for that kind of thing to go down. If you hit the last four games of the season and you've already put the division away, or you need a game or two to win to put the division away, and let's say you put the division away on that Friday. Traditionally, teams that clinch the next day, they get the day off, because the guys go out and they raise Cain, so they'll put the backups in. So I do like the Braves' chance to end up with the best record in baseball, as long as we can get through this gauntlet that we're about to endure. As far as Tampa Bay, and they've been fading. I mean, Tampa Bay, we'll see what they do at the deadline, but they're not typically big buyers. They've lost 6 of their last 10. And they are, remember, they started out scalding hot, and now they're 20 games above 500. But they have been playing just good enough recently. They've got Toronto on their heels. They've got Boston. Boston's much further back. I don't think Boston can catch Tampa. But as far as the wild card goes in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays are in pretty good position, but they've got a 6.5 game lead for four on Toronto, four on Houston, who have the last two slots for the American League wild card, and then Boston's 2.5 out, so 6.5 in front of the final odd man out or the first team looking in. Yankees are 7.5 behind Tampa. And then the Angels, who come in tonight, take on the Braves. They are 8 games out. So with all that being said, Braves looking at where the Tampa Bay Rays are and the rest of their schedule, I still believe the team we have to worry about the most is Baltimore, but they have, without going through their entire schedule, they've got a pretty tough September. They got some pretty good. They've got Cleveland, San Francisco, and the Angels coming up. Then they come home against Colorado and the Yankees, who just are, have not been the Yankees this year. When you look into September, I think Tampa Bay is going to struggle. They're at Cleveland. They got 7 games back-to-back-to-back against Boston and Seattle. Then they go back out on the road and take on Minnesota and Baltimore, who right now lead their divisions. And then they come home, but they're going to be playing an Angels team who should be still fighting for their life. The Blue Jays the same. And then they have to finish their season off at Boston and at Toronto. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be able to catch us. I worry about the Orioles, but I still believe that the Orioles will run out of gas. As a young team, there's a wall that they're going to hit. All right, let's go ahead and hit this up real quick. Braves and Angels tonight. First of all, I do believe the Braves are going to win this series. I'm not going to be as bold to say a sweep because they should win tonight. They should win tomorrow night with Strider and Morton going back-to-back against Griffin, Canning, and Sandoval. That's advantage Braves. Lucas Giolito goes Wednesday, and it being a day game, that could be tough. We should score runs, but if Yonny Chirinos is on the mound, who knows what the hell is going to go down. So I'll take the Braves to win the series, but I'll stick with the 2-1 because until I see for sure who we're going to end up sending out there for game 3, that could get tricky. I think they put up a lot of runs tonight. Let's see what the actual over-under tonight is. It's got to be a high one. Yeah, it's 10. So 10 is your over-under. I can see that being right about where it'll end up at. Give me the Braves to win this one. Morton on the mound. He should do well against. So he'll keep him along with the bullpen, keep him to 3. Give me a 7-3 victory for the Atlanta Braves. And as far as pick to click, you've got so many good options. But I think I'm going to go with, Dan Olsen just hit 2 home runs last night. That's very tempting. Ronald Acuña Jr. has been on fire. That's tempting. They're all doing really well, except for the bottom half of our lineup, other than Michael Harris, has been scuffling. And even, I mean, even Ozuna. How about Ozuna? I mean, those four home runs. That's incredible. Man, Travis d'Arnaud. I'm not going to go to the well again with Travis d'Arnaud because I picked him the other day, and he hit four balls extremely hard. They were just all into the gloves of guys. And I don't like going back-to-back on a pick-to-click. So let me go. Man, you talk about a guy who's due to come out of his funk. Give me Ozzie Albies. Give me Ozzie Albies to finally get out of this funk. He's just been kind of scuffling around there. I know he hit the home run in Boston, but he's kind of been scuffling, and I'd like to see him do a little bit more. And I'll tell you what I loved about him yesterday. When he come flying out of the chute, when he hit that ball and got himself a double, he was motoring. There was no cruise control on Ozzie Albies. I want to see him. Not, he doesn't even have to get a home run, but give me two bases pick to click tonight. 7-3, sticking with that. We'll stick with Ozzie Albies, though. I do think the Braves are just going to put up fireworks. I think you could almost throw a dart. Even Eddie Rosario might get into one tonight. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tampa Tones is on the way. We're going to be talking Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. We're doing their mini camps along with the MLB trading deadline. Also, quick note, the Chattahoots are in the playoffs Friday night. You'll be able to catch the Chattahoots play-by-play right here on WQEE, and we'll keep you up to date on that. They're playing the winner of tonight's game, so we'll know more about that tomorrow. But anyways, we will be back in a flash. Y'all keep it locked in here on the Key. Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Going to be right back talking some football and Major League Baseball trade deadline. I'm going to check and see if anything's new. We will be back on the other side. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Good Monday afternoon. Major League Baseball deadline for trades is tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage keeping you up to date on today's show, tomorrow's show, along with the pregame show. We go live 3 to 5 every day right here on WQEE. Also tonight, Braves and Angels, 7:20 first pitch. Shohei Ohtani will make his long-awaited visit to Truist Park. Speaking of Major League Baseball, let's go ahead and go over the standings here on Monday. In the National League East, your Atlanta Braves, the best record in baseball, have an 11.5 game lead on the Miami Marlins, 12 on the Philadelphia Phillies. Mets are 18 back, Washington 24.5. NL Central, the Cincinnati Reds take a half game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Cubs are just 4 back. Out West, Dodgers and Giants, along with Arizona, are going 3 wide into the corner, heading towards the backstretch. Dodgers have a 2-game lead on San Fran, 4 on Arizona. San Diego is 8 back. American League, Baltimore, a game and a half lead on the Tampa Bay Rays. Toronto, 5.5 back. Red Sox are 8 back, and the Yankees in last place, 9 out of first. AL Central, Minnesota Twins, half game up on Cleveland. And out West, Texas has a 1-game lead on Houston, 5 on the Angels. In the wild card standings in the National League, it's San Francisco, Milwaukee, and Miami with the top 3 spots. Philly, a half game out. Arizona, 1. Cubs, 3.5. Padres, 5. And the Mets, 6.5 out. In the AL wild card, you've got Tampa Bay with a 4-game lead for the top spot in the wild card standings, with Toronto and Houston grabbing the last two slots. Boston 2.5, Yankees 3.5, and the Angels are 4 back. The best record in Major League Baseball, the Braves have a 4-game lead over Baltimore, 5.5 over Tampa, 8.5 over the Dodgers, and the Texas Rangers. Pretty good slate tonight in Major League Baseball. It all gets going for us at 7:20, Charlie Morton versus Griffin Canning. Atlanta's -220 on the money line. Over-under is 10. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, right here on youtube.com/@BravesCountry. Please like and subscribe Braves Country HD today. Other games of interest around the league include 6:40 Eastern. The Phillies are at the Marlins. Taiwan Walker at Cabrera. It's a pick 'em, over-under 8. Brewers at the Nats. Corbin Burns versus Irvin. Rays and Yankees in the Bronx. Glasnow versus Domingo Herman. Tampa Bay -150, over under is 8.5. Orioles and Blue Jays, Gibson versus Bassett. And the Reds and Cubs, Abbott versus Stroman. Chicago -120 in Wrigley. 8:05 first pitch, over under 8. Guardians are at the Astros at 8:10, with Noah Syndergaard making his debut for Cleveland. Padres are at the Rockies at 8:40. Seth Lugo on the bump. Friars -205. The Red Sox are at the Mariners, 9:40 first pitch, Pavetta versus Kirby. Your late pitch tonight, the Giants host the Diamondbacks, should be a good one. San Fran -145 with Cobb and Nelson going head to head. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on youtube.com/BravesCountry.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
It's summertime, and that means the return of all the fun and excitement of Chattahooch Baseball at historic Golden Park. Bring the whole family down for a night of fun. Tickets start as low as $10 with a discount for kids, seniors, and active military. Or celebrate a special night at the park with a group package or suite night. For game dates and more, visit GoHoots.com. That's GoHoots.com.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit
the armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, the All-American man.
Welcome back. Want to go ahead and start this off with a little Brian Snicker and reactions to yesterday's W. And we're going to go and get into that right away as the Braves swept the Brewers. Big win, big series win, big series sweep. Exciting game yesterday if you missed that. But here are some of the guys. Here's Matt Olson on hit 2 home runs. He is catching fire. The whole team is really playing well the last few days.
Matt Olson, first of all, as a team, you guys hit 409 against this team that really doesn't give up many runs. Just how are you able to be so relentless offensively 1-9? It's crazy.
Just continue to do our daily work. Approach each day as its own. Kind of keep that same mentality. I think it helps when we just faced them, so you're a little familiar with them. But, they got some good arms there. We put together some good at-bats this series. It's a day-by-day thing. you know, these guys are always in base in front of me, so they give me a bunch of opportunities. So, you know, all thanks to them. We got a great group. We all love having fun. It makes it easier to ride the highs and get out of the lows. Everybody comes and works hard, and we have fun while we do it. It's a great environment.
So I don't think that gets talked about enough is the fact that this group is having fun. Now, obviously, wins create fun, but this team is having fun, and I don't think that they panic when they're having a couple of bad games. I know the fans do. The fans lose their mind, and you know, you see it in the chat. You see everything where there are people who are ready to sell the whole damn team off because we lose two games in a row or we have a bad inning. I mean, you got to take everything into perspective. This team is doing things the New Atlanta Braves team has ever done. Incredible team, but yes, you don't want to rest on your laurels. Okay, here is Brian Snitker on what Matt Olson has been doing.
You know what? It wasn't that bad out there. Humidity wasn't, I mean, that sun was hot, but it wasn't all that bad. It's been worse, that's for sure.
Your first baseman seems like a keeper.
Think.
What do you say about the season that guy's having?
I don't know. It's amazing. Just he had a really good season last year.
Yeah.
I thought now he's been something else. No, it's like he was another one of those guys that not playing is not an option. You know, he signed the contract to play the games, and thank God.
Since I think he said, hey, I want to be a little bit more consistent. You look at his on base percentage, I think it's 400+ since then. The strikeouts are down.
Yeah.
And the power has remained high.
I know. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I mean, it's. Yeah, I can't say enough about him.
I know the first inning thing is hard to put your finger on, but is there something to be said for just being ready to play and coming out of the gate fast and crediting the guys?
I mean, they guess that's as good as...
Yeah, so when you look at Matt Olson, what he's doing and what Acuna's doing, there's a very good chance that we're going to end up with at least the top three, if not the top two, NL MVP vote getters. Now, for folks that have been paying attention, Freddie Freeman's been having a hell of a year too. So he may very well end up being one or two. But Acuna and Olson have got to be top three at this point. I mean, what Acuna's doing, nobody's ever done. He's on pace to possibly hit about 35 home runs. And let's be honest, he could crack 80 stolen bases. And then on top of that, Olson is leading the league and is leading the National League in home runs. He is leading the NL in our. He could end up with about 55. What did I see? He's on pace for 55 home runs, and actually. Yesterday, I think I should push it up to 56. 56 home runs and between 130 and 140 RBI. What? That's insane. All right, here is Snitker on the sweep of a very good Milwaukee Brewers team.
How big of a sweep was it for you guys to kind of come back after, I guess, the
Super Bowl? I think they, you know, it's a good win. You know, they're three good wins against a really good club. And you know, so it's good, you know, kind of shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times today and you know, just keep roaring back. I think it's just testament how these guys are. I mean, they're just, like I said, nothing phases them. You know, they just started, you know, every day, the new inning. We can put a bad inning behind us and you know, win the next one. And but it's good. It's, you know, it's nice to be a good club like this.
So I know the sky was falling. I know it was for me coming out of Boston, go fly all the way up there and watch them lose two games. But hey, that's the risk you take when you're going to, you know, catch a series like that. But you come back and the first game, happy to get that under our belt. And the offense was just absolutely clicking. We get to Sunday and jump out to that early lead. And honestly, AJ Smith-Shawver, see, where do I have that out? Let's listen to Snitker on AJ Smith-Shawver and realize these comments were made before they sent him back down to AAA, but you kind of get where his head's at.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great way about him. I love just, he doesn't, there's no panic in him. You know, he just kept pitching. He got a little scattergun there for a while. And but you know what? When he got into pitches and when he got them and everything flowed, it's pretty good. And, you know, there's just, I think, just tremendous upside for him as he figures things out. And, you know, he's, you know, with the stuff and just the whole game and, you know, his delivery, the whole, you know, as he figures things out. I mean, the kid's got a chance of having a really, you know, being really good.
I felt like that he came in yesterday doing the game, watching it unfold. I felt like that entire thing was just nerves. I think he put a lot of pressure on himself because he'd been sent down. He's getting the one chance. He probably knew that there was a good chance he was getting sent back down with Max Fried on his way back. So he wanted to impress, and I think sometimes you put too much on it. But his fastball was hitting 97 in the early innings. He settled in a little bit and ended up going around mid-90s. But I think that was just to be able to control it. All in all, I thought he pitched pretty well. And he definitely has more impressive stuff, better stuff, than like a Yanni Chirinos. That is no secret there. Long term, Schauver is going to be in the Atlanta Braves rotation as early as next year on a very regular basis. But he's just, he's got to keep putting the work in. The kid's got the stuff. He's just got to keep put the work in. Here's Brian Snicker on the first innings, the Braves leading the major leagues in runs scored.
Way to put it is any. I mean, you know, they are. They're ready to go. I guess that's a good thing, you know, a good way to put that.
Leading off those first innings, he gets on, and then before you know it, he's on second.
No. Yeah, and scoring. I mean, and it's... You know, and they do that, and then all of a sudden you got that gauntlet coming back around in the second inning or, you know, the meat of it in the third inning again, and it's just kind of relentless on that opposing pitcher.
And then the last one I'll play for you, Joe Jimenez. Mentioned this during the broadcast yesterday. I've been impressed by him the last 2 months. He's been lights out. His ERA was 0.9 coming into yesterday for the month of July. The month before, it was sub-2. He's really starting to put it together, and you can tell that back injury is behind him.
Oh, huge. Huge as he's gotten himself going. I mean, it's, you know, now we got a lot of good options in that bullpen right now. So I think that's he's coming and peaking at the right time, that's for sure.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot to get into, a little time to do it. We'll be back. There's a lot going on here on Braves Country today. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
It's baseball season now, but hockey will be back before you know it. Join the Columbus River Dragons as they celebrate the team's fifth anniversary season in 2023-24. Season tickets are on sale now with no price increase from last season. Lock up your favorite seat for every exciting moment. Call the River Dragons at 706-507-4625 or go online to rdragons.com. That's rdragons.com. River Dragons hockey. Get fired up.
Well, the season's finally here and the players hit.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback, the All-American Man.
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today, Southern Sports Talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today, we go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. joining us today. Tampa Tones. Tampa, how the hell are you, my friend?
Doing wonderful, brother. Battling just like my Cubs are, and I'm excited to say I will be first row at the ball game tonight, so very much so looking forward to that.
Oh, awesome. I saw it. Who are they playing tonight?
It's actually a good one. We got Andrew Abbott and the Reds coming to town. So.
Oh, the Reds. Oh, that's huge.
It's going to be a big series. You know, there's going to be a lot of excitement in the air. And tonight, Abbott against Stroman. It doesn't get much better than that, although Stroman's been struggling. We'll see if he could bounce back.
What happens if you're sitting in the crowd, second inning, you see Stroman getting handshakes and he's leaving the game because he's been traded?
I think you'd hear a an armchair quarterback would be out of commission of the show a little bit. You'd see a fan running on the field, and pretty good chances it'd probably be me.
So you're going into this series, man, that's going to be huge because you cannot lose this series.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sweep it, but you've got to win at home against one of the teams you're trying to catch. Just
absolutely
losing the series is not even an option. They lose the series and you're like, what time is the game tomorrow? Is it a night game as well?
Yep, tomorrow is a night game.
I'm sure the Cubs would prefer to have that game during the day so they could have, you know, because like, let's say for instance, hopefully it doesn't happen, but let's say they go out and drop the first two, but the second game is a day game tomorrow. You're selling at the deadline, right? At that point, you're like, ah, it's over. Let's approve the team. Now, I saw something. I can't remember I believe it was you sharing this. They're talking about there's a possibility that the Cubs, not only are they going to be holding on to, but maybe even re-signing or possibly even extending Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, it looks like there's a growing possibility and a pretty good possibility at this point in time that the Cubs not only hang on to Bellinger for this playoff run, but it sounds like they could be flirting towards an extension once the year concludes. I'd be interested to see what that looks like. I'm happy they're at least keeping him because they already rebuilt their farm system. It's not one of the best there is, but, you know, they got some good prospects. We're the Cubs. You might as well go for it. You know, the NL Central's there for the taking, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to go out and have the best farm system. I think fans always get too into the weeds with that kind of stuff. First of all, it's all perception. Mm-hmm. Anytime you talk about the farm system anywhere, it's all perception. Because just because someone is projected, that doesn't mean they've done a damn thing yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have some pretty highly rated guys, I think that's the key. So that if you do decide to get aggressive, you do decide to sell, you got something to sell. By the way, we took the break early, but it is 4:20. Smoke them if you got them.
Hell yeah.
All right, so we're sitting here 14 hours-ish from the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one move that the Cubs are going to make?
Well, I was already wrong, apparently. I tweeted at you that I thought they'd go after CJ Cron in a Brad Hand package, which I would have loved because the Cubs kind of do need that hitter that could play the high corner, that could put the ball over the fence, McGee. I'm not ruling out a Brad Hand trade coming to Chicago. And another guy that I think is coming back, yes, that's right, Cubs fans, back to Chicago is former Cub Jamar Candelario. I think that's who we end up getting. Brad Hand, Jamar Candelario.
I like Candelario a lot. Watched him several times with Washington. There has been rumors he could be heading to Atlanta, but I don't see it. I think Atlanta is not going to go. First of all, it's a trade within your own division. That hardly ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would ask too much. So I would tend to think that Candelario going to Wrigleyville would be a very good addition. For people who don't follow him, Candelario can play the corner infields, and he's got a stick. I mean, he really mm-hmm. does.
And I would like it for his sakes too, McGee, because about, wow, crazy how fast time goes. But 6 or 7 years ago now, the Cubs traded him to Detroit to try and bolster their roster to make a run. That's the year we acquired reliever Wilson and catcher Alex Avila from the Tigers, and we traded him Jamar Candelario. It would kind of be cool 6, 7 years later to see him come back and help the Cubs make a run this time around. He was the guy we traded to make a run the first time around. It'd be cool if things came full circle and he came back to help us make a run in round two.
Yeah, I don't even remember him being a Cub, to be honest. Did y'all lose him free agency? Did you trade him? How did that end up happening?
We traded him because we were going for it all. And at one point in time, he was a top 100 prospect. It was towards the back. It was only in the 90s. But he had some trading power, and that's where we got the Tigers' closer at the time, Wilson, and their catcher, Alex Avila. Ultimately didn't do the Cubs that well, but and we went for it, and we came up short.
Well, I think that would be a great addition. As far as arms, are you looking at anything like that?
Yeah, so a couple of guys came to mind if I'm a Cubs fan. I think that I want Brad Hand for the bullpen, left-handed arm reliever. He would come pretty cheap. If we're talking a couple of bigger names, again, I don't know how realistic this would be because it would be interdivision, but I would love a David Bednar from the Pirates, the closer. Again, as you said on Candelario to the Braves, I'm not sure if that'll happen because it's interdivision. I'm not sure if the Pirates will do that. But looking at more of a under-the-radar type move, just knowing the Cubs situation, because we do have Drew Smyly and Adrian Sampson, so if we wanted an older guy for a starter, I think we'd have that. But if they were looking around for a starter reliever package, not just a starter, but a starter reliever package, and say if San Fran is listening to offers, I would love an Alex Cobb and or Wood / Rogers package from the Giants. I think that'd be incredible. If we could just get one of Cobb and or Alex Wood and a Rogers, the reliever from the Giants, I think that could be a good little 2-for-1.
Well, I doubt the Giants are selling right now, though, right?
No, the only thing, it sounds like they're listening to some of their veterans. They're kind of like doing what the Guardians are trying, it sounds like. I'm not really sure. Yeah, again, I'm not sure if the
buying
Giants
and selling at the same time, trying to get more control.
That's what it sounds like. Okay. They're going to try and do, which, you know, the Giants have done pretty good at staying afloat to date, so I wouldn't be shocked. But at the same time, like you said, you never know. They're right there, so yeah, it could be one of those things where they keep adding and subtracting simultaneously.
We're going to revisit this here in a second. I've got a starting pitcher that I want the Braves to have. I've got a bat, and I've got a reliever. But before we do that, let's go ahead and get into our mini camp. As today, we are heading to Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So I'll let you take it away, Tones. Tell us about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the thing I like about the Steelers, McGee, which a lot of people seem to overlook, is they actually have a little bit of a youth movement going offensively on the offensive side of the football. Yes, this is the Steelers we're talking about, a team that's historically built on defense. But when you look at them offensively, a lot of their star power and a lot of their starters are young. You have Kenny Pickett entering year number 2. That's incredible. You have Najee Harris entering year number 3. Deontay Johnson on his rookie deal. George Pickens still on his rookie deal. Pat Freiermuth starting tight end on his rookie deal. Drafted a rookie tight end in Darnell Washington. And then their offensive line got younger as well. And then on top of all those young guns, Jaylen Warren, you could add to the mix as well. You know, running back, he in his second year now, I believe. So very much so a youth movement over there. You add in the veterans on like an Allen Robinson and like a Miles Boykin, very effective on that side of the football. When you have that good of a youth movement, you bring in a guy like A-Rob and Boykin. So they're really trying to surround Pickett with some veterans to shore up the youth. But at the same time, they're right there, man. They got a lot of good young offensive weapons. And defensively, you got your veteranship, your good star-studded veterans. You got your Minka Fitzpatrick. You got your TJ Watt. You got your Cam Hayward. You got your core three. Then they did an incredible job of adding a couple star power type players. Rookie Joey Porter Jr. staying in the state of Pennsylvania. If you guys remember, he went to Penn State. Man, did I love him at Penn State. He's just a ball player. He plays real tough. Added veteran Patrick Peterson, which to me is a really good move. They added veteran Marcus Goldson, who's an edge rusher. And then big Larry Ogunjobi they brought in as well. So to me, McGee, he's from Cleveland and Cincy, and then 1 year under Pittsburgh. Between this year and last year, they've brought in so many big names, so much star power, whether they're young guys or veteran guys. Their division's really hard to compete with this year. I get that. But Steelers fans are trying their best to not only say, hey, we're not going to give up on this year, but they're building the foundation for years to come simultaneously. So a team like the Steelers, led by Coach Mike Tomlin, that's really never too underwhelming of a franchise. Yeah, they're probably the long shot favorites to win that division this year, but they are trying to make subtle moves here and there, like an Allen Robinson, like a Miles Boykin, drafting Joey Porter Jr., going ahead and getting guys like Patrick Peterson, retaining a Larry Ogunjobi. They're trying their best forefront to compete for this year at the same time. I'm not expecting them to blow the world away this year by any means, but I am expecting them to compete. I'm expecting them to have one of those Mike Tomlin nitty and gritty type years. And by the way, backup quarterback, just in case, they did retain guys like Trubisky and Rudolph. Kenny Pickett went down last year. Trubisky was able to beat the Bucks. They have continuity in the quarterback room. They have continuity with the head coach position. They got a new offensive coordinator to shake things up. I think the Steelers might be a little bit better than people are expecting this year.
All right, so the Steelers come in. They're over under win total this year is 8.5. Where do you have them finishing this year?
Man, I thought I'd be over it. That to me is a little high. I know I just talked them up. I know I said look for them to be competitive. But to me, McGee, when you got a division with Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore, that ain't no tough task. I had them getting right around 7 to 8 wins, and I thought that'd be an uplifting season for them. But for that reason, I'm gonna have to go with their under.
So is it 7 wins? Is it 8 wins? What are we talking about?
I'll go ahead and give them the 8 and 9 label. I'll label Pittsburgh a tough 8 and 9.
Okay. It's hard for me to give them a losing record because Tomlin always finds a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, on paper, I have to go lower because I just don't think they're gonna be that explosive. I still think Kenny Pickett is probably a year away from really being what you would consider like a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's got enough weapons on that offense. And the defense, they're going to have to win some ugly games. But I believe in Tomlin, so I'm going to give him 9 and 8. And we'll see where that puts him as far as the playoff. It's probably going to put him just on the outside putting in, on the outside looking in. But I guess I'm going to go 9 and 8. I don't know how they're going to get there other than the fact that they've got Mike Tomlin and the other team doesn't.
Yeah, and that's true. Anytime you have Mike Tomlin, it's a good day to be a football fan, and the Steelers can continue right there with Mike Tomlin. So I think they're doing good in that department. I think that's why they'll continue to fight hard every year.
So then we head on to the Baltimore Ravens. And by the way, we will be doing the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns on Thursday. So, but let's head on to the Baltimore Ravens. It's got to be the favorite to win this division at this point, right? With the injury news with Joe Burrow. They're still real tight-lipped about it, but something's not right. That's all I can tell you. What you know good on the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, the Joe Burrow thing's interesting, right? But that's for another day. But I agree with you. They're keeping it a little tight-lipped. They're keeping it a little shady. So that's something to look out for over there. When you look at the Baltimore Ravens, McGee, talk about continuity. They are building on continuity. And for once, they're adding weapons for Lamar Jackson, which I love. Last year, they drafted tight end Isaiah Likely. You know, they added some guys. They drafted some guys. Nothing over the top, though. You were like, come on, when is this team really going to build for Lamar? They had another winter where Lamar was seen injured and missing some games. But now you look at this Ravens offense, and to me, it's really built well for them this season, especially if, like you said, Burrow is going to miss more time than expected. J.K. Dobbins, although he's coming back from injury, a little banged up, they got Gus Edwards, they brought in Melvin Gordon, and they still have Justice Hill. Incredible running back depth there. Quarterback depth, they're very deep. They have Tyler Huntley, who, although it was bull crap, played and participated in the Pro Bowl last year. Josh Johnson, they retained, and Anthony Brown as well. Both of those quarterbacks, well, I'm sorry, Anthony Brown, started games for the Ravens last year. So really good job there of keeping continuity. You got Lamar, Huntley, and Anthony Brown. Josh Johnson started a playoff game for San Fran last year. So they're deep at the quarterback position just in case Lamar does go down. Then wide receiver finally beefed up a little bit. They brought in Odell Beckham Jr. They brought in Nelson Aguilar, and they drafted Zay Flowers. So those are three big moves, in my opinion, to help really fortify this offense, because even if Lamar can't get it there throwing necessarily, even if he doesn't have the greatest of throws all the time, adding all those weapons creates more running lanes, whether it's Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, or Melvin Gordon, you name it. When you have an Odell, a Zay Flowers, and a Nelson Aguilar stretching the field, yeah, it's going to open more and more lanes for Baltimore to run. So I really like what they did offensively. I think their O-line is still good enough as well to compete. They got Ronnie Stanley, left tackle, Tyler Linderbaum, one of the better centers in the game out there as well. Then you look defensively, and I think they did some good things this year. They brought in Rocky Spin, the former Colton Raider, as a free agent. Again, they just brought in Roquan Smith last year, so that was huge for them. Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton. Hamilton was a huge draft pick this year. Marcus Williams, Tyus Bowser, Patrick Queen. They have a lot of young, powerful, star-studded names on that defense. A lot of people might think, oh, you know, their defense isn't as familiar as before. Well, you're going to get to know these guys, and you're going to get to know them quick. A lot of young star power over there. I'm really impressed at how they were able to redraft and retool that defense with young guys. And then special teams, you still have the best kicker in NFL, if not in NFL history, Justin Tucker, to lead the way for them. And then you got a really good returner as well, who was having an incredible year last year before getting into some concussion trouble. Devin Duvernay, he had a couple kick return touchdowns last season. So I'm just really impressed with the totality of Baltimore's continuity, star power, and a mix of their young guns in the realm of things.
All right, their over-under is 10.5 victories. How do you have them finishing this year?
I got them with 12 to 13 wins. I'm going to go with 12 wins for the Ravens. I like their over.
So you're going 12-5. Wow. All right. I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to go just a hair under at 10-7. I think this division is going to get really mucky and muddled, and the winner of the, and they could very well win the division with 10 games, right? But I just don't think that they're, I still have got to see this where Lamar Jackson turns into a quarterback and not just a glorified running back with a really strong arm that's incredibly inaccurate. So I'm looking at the fact, passing-wise, I still think they have the worst quarterback in the division. Now, talent, he's up there with Burrow. But I think Deshaun Watson is going to take a step forward this year. I think he was last year's essentially a throwaway year. He better for all the money they spent on him, right? If what Deshaun Watson did last year is his ceiling, they got problems in Cleveland. When Burrow is healthy, if he's healthy, but assuming he's healthy at some point in the season, that's the best quarterback in the division, right?
Yeah.
And I just have a hard time seeing them rattle off the wins that they've won in the past, but the 12-5 wouldn't shock me. I'm just hedging my bet that I think that it's a pretty tough division and they're going to kind of like knock each other off.
Yeah, and that's why the Steelers win under total was a little high to me as well. For that exact reason, I think it's going to be a battle of these four, and it always seemingly is.
And looking at their schedule, I see like road bumps when they got to go to Jacksonville and San Francisco back-to-back games. They're going to play Tennessee in London. That's always a funky game, right? Having to go to London. Like, who knows what team's going to show up there? What they're hoping is when they go to Cincinnati in September, week two, the Joe Burrow's still out.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do that, if they can face him with Joe Burrow still being out, they're going to have a leg up on that division. See, the second time they meet is when middle of the season, November 16th. But I almost said 11-6, but I know they made such a big deal about going out and getting those receivers for Lamar. He's still Lamar Jackson. He still can't. There's a reason why Marquise Brown wanted the hell out of there. So, what's this trade that you just put in the chat?
The Rays appeared to finally make a move, and they acquire Guardians starting pitcher Aaron Civale, who's had a 2.34 ERA so far this season. It doesn't come cheap, as they do give up one of their best prospects and one of the better first base prospects in all of baseball, and Kyle Manzardo, top 40 in all the MLB, according to MLB.com. So pretty big trade there for the Guardians and the Rays.
I am fascinated that the Rays keep trying to make moves for pitching when their hitting is just atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what? And look, Civale is a solid starting pitcher, and I know he's having like a career year. I get that part of it. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that Aaron Civale plays in the AL Central.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do? I'm just saying, come October, he's going to make you nervous.
I don't disagree with you there. And to me, the interesting is, McGee, I wonder if their approach – I know they've done it year after year now, but I do wonder if their approach might have changed if they didn't lose Erasmussen in his Springs. But at the same time, you know, they just need a hitter still, even without those guys, more than a starting pitcher seemingly. But I do like the move for both of these teams.
You know where I see them – I'll tell you what, let's take a real quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some trade chatter because – remind me when we come back, we'll lead off with who I think that would help them a great deal when it talks about Tampa Bay offense. And I got my list of Braves that I want to see head to Atlanta. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country as we wrap this puppy up, heading to the top of the 5 o'clock hour, the Brian Snow Show.
What delay, Industries?
No!
That's the right number, but this isn't an apartment.
Yeah,
what?
Mandalay! Save it!
Make contact. A collective psychosis is sweeping the nation. We're in the thick of the haze craze, and Elysian is introducing an altered state of IPA. Contact Haze is a tangled chemistry of mild haze, low bitterness, and an explosion of hop aroma. This hazy IPA bursts with notes of bright raspberry, currant, citrus, guava, and passion fruit. Available in 6-pack cans in stores and make contact.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit.
The armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall, talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th, right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, the All-American. Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit the field, and every man feels
welcome
like a
back.
Every wife could kill. Cause he's the armchair quarterback, he's full of beer, and he's full
and
of
if we
snacks,
lose you,
the All-American
once
man.
Again, you see how dark it is in the studio, Tones? My windows are wide open.
Oh, man.
It is Florida. It is almost August, and that means it's going to rain. A little bit of sideways rain, a little bit of upwards rain.
It's coming.
Yeah. So that's what we got going on. Hopefully, everything will keep rolling, and we got first pitch at 7:20. The weather is supposed to be out of here by first pitch, but so if we do lose you, we will start the feed back up. But you know, WQEE needs like the equivalent of you would need like an audio style, but do you remember the old Simpsons when they would show the television station having some kind of like random thing happen and they would just put a technical difficulty up there and and they would show like it was obviously a cartoon because the Simpsons, but they would show a guy sitting there with like a bottle and he's all drunk cameraman kind of thing. It would just say technical difficulties all misspelled. That's what we need, that kind of thing going on with our show if the power goes out. So I don't know how to do that on their end, but yeah, that's what we got going on. It is coming.
Have down. A picture of Bobby the Kid pop up.
It is coming. It's coming down bad, man. Woo! Hot coffee coming in. All right, let's get back into it. Okay, first of all, I got a guy that will fix the Rays offense to a degree. Either one of them come from the same team. I think it'd be a cheap trade, too. I don't think they have to give too much because this team has gone all selling. Tommy Pham is having a hell of a year, and Mark Kanya is having a pretty good year as well.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would rather have Mark Kanya because he has a little more pop, but either way, I think that would help out the Tampa Bay Rays.
I think both of those guys would as well, and I think either one of them would be a good add. Both of them would be even better, but yeah, I think neither of those guys would be overly expensive either, especially Tommy Pham, as he's on a one-year contract and he's an older player.
I don't know if you could hear that, but that was a loud thunder crack.
I heard that one. I was like, either someone's hungry or the weather's bad.
A little bit of stinging rain. So I like that. Now, as far as the Braves, All right, I'm going to throw some names at you. All these guys are on the trade block. These are the ones that I like that are a little more realistic. You know, can we stop it with the go get Justin Verlander? Go spend $60 million to bring in a guy when we won't spend $14 million to go spend $60 million on a pitcher for a year and a half when we wouldn't give Dansby Swanson and $25 million a year, right? Come on. You know, get the hell out of here. All right. Erod is the one that I like the most because I do think he's going to opt out. He has a player option at the end of this year that he can pick up for 3 years. I think it's worth 45. He's not opting back in. Unless he blows his arm out, he's not opting back in. So I like Erod a lot. Brings you a left-hander, brings you a guy with a lot of playoff experience from when he was in Boston. But I think the more realistic one, so that's my pie in the sky guy. There's two more realistic ones that I like. I like Paul Blackburn from Oakland. He still has 2 years of control left. Or Michael Lorenzen would be the least desirable, but he's a solid innings eater. None of these guys are going to do anything in October except for Erod, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these are guys to get us to the finish line, to get Kyle Wright healthy, to keep Strider and Morton and Max Fried healthy. That's what I'm looking at. Other teams have other things going on. And the wind's whipping, too. I don't know if you heard that. But that sounds like Tornado Alley coming through here. So if I die, how's that song go, If I Die Young? I guess for me to die young, I would have had to have done it a long time ago. Relievers. My favorite one on the market would probably be Paul Sewald from the Mariners. But there's a couple others. By the way, Mitch Keller would be a phenomenal add, and I know people have talked about it, but I think he would cost so much because of the control that he has left. I think he's got 2 more years after this one, and he's been phenomenal for Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh goes into the offseason, tries to move him when everybody's bidding on him, not just 10 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul Sewald would be my favorite. I like Alex Lang a lot out of Detroit as a reliever. Bednar would be phenomenal, but once again, same situation. They've got control of him for this year, and then I think it's 3 more years after that. So if you get him, what do you have to spend to get him? And then every year, when he hits arbitration, his number's going to go up and up and up. So I don't know how realistic that is for Atlanta. Other teams may go all in like that. I just don't see Atlanta doing it.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
This guy, I've been mentioning him a lot last few weeks, and I just think he's more realistic. Scott Barlow. He's got good stuff. He's got terrible numbers this year. He's also been playing for Kansas City, change of scenery. We could see him. His velo's there. All the numbers suggest that he's had some somewhat bad luck. Also, a lot of the numbers point to the fact that their defense isn't very good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I like him. Also like Jose Cisnero from Detroit. The one bat. I talked about really wanting DeJong, but I don't know if how realistic that is. So give me one bat. If I can pick one bat, let's go back. Let's run it back. And let's go get Adam Duvall. Because I don't think Jock Peterson's going anywhere. And I know Jorge Soler's not going anywhere.
I agree with that. I don't think Soler's going anywhere for sure with the Marlins thinking at least they're in it. So,
all right, what are your thoughts on just that, but also the rest of the trade market?
Yeah, I agree with you mainly on the front of the Braves. I mean, the other thing with the Braves is they're already the best team. They're going to obviously look to acquire some pieces. But to me, they don't have to do anything over the top. They don't have to do anything too cute. I think a couple lower-end pieces here or there would be phenomenal for them. Yeah, a Lang would be nice as long as they don't have to give up anything breathtaking, as would a Barlow, as you mentioned, and even a Bednar, as long as you don't have to bend the knee. But with that being said, I think regardless of what that division does at the deadline, regardless of what they do, the Marlins do, and all the other squads, the Phillies included, it's theirs to lose, and they got such a big lead. I mean, they could acquire some depth and be just fine. I would like the Braves, though. If I could make a move for the Braves, I think a reliever and a starter would be a nice little package. If you could get a mid-bullpen guy and a back-of-the-rotation starter, I think that would be a good move. Now, how they do it, how they go about doing so, that'll be interesting. You know, I heard maybe some guys like a Dylan Cease are available, but you're going to have to give up a ton for that. I see the Braves settling.
I mean, that's the problem with him, is it's not like this is his walk year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, look, he's pie in the sky to me. I would love, don't get me wrong, I would love to have Dylan Cease. But what are we going to have to get him? So when people says, don't you want Dylan Cease? I go, no. It's not that I don't think he's a phenomenal pitcher. He really is. He's very good. But what are we going to have to give up? And I'm okay, I'm okay with giving up Vaughn Grissom. I'm okay with giving up Michael Soroka. But I don't want to screw up the core that's already up there. And I think they're gonna go, hey, won't you hand us Michael Harris? Won't you hand us? And I no, that's not happening. So what are we gonna give? And people are talking kooky duke stuff on Twitter yesterday. They were is it called X now? Or is it X marks the spot? The hell is that crap they've come up with? by the way, as smart as Elon Musk is, he is absolutely awful at knowing how or hiring someone. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's doing it himself. But, dude, get a better PR system going on.
Mm-hmm.
You are just spitting the bit. It's still a solid product that everyone's going to go to. What do they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Correct.
Quit fixing it. This X thing, I thought it was something temporary that I found out this morning. No, he's going to that permanently.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a quick little Brussels as well. I thought it had something to do with the
SpaceX going up, and right? I thought it was, we're flying today, so we're turning it into an X. I'm like, it's annoying, but okay.
I agree. Yeah, I thought, you know, they were just going to do one of those things where they were thinking about it and maybe down the road, but hey, he moved it to X and he moved it there quickly. And
it's a black X too, so it's not even the same color scheme as Twitter used to be with the light blue and the white.
Exactly. Yeah, something interesting there for sure.
If I had the capital to run and build a rival, I would see what are the chances that I could make. Because he's changed his logo, can I go steal that logo or get something that looks really close to it? People would flock to you.
Yeah, because a lot of people love the little birdie, right, Ron?
It's 15 years they've had that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid. Anyways, back to the rest of the story. Some of these guys that people are asking about, I just think they're unrealistic. Look, I even like Giovanni Gallegos from the Cardinals, but once again, are they going to pay? He's been kind of up and down his whole career, and he does have a club option. What is it, 5.5 for next year?
Mm-hmm.
And another club option for 25. But I don't see him being a target. I would just be shocked if he was.
I agree with that. Like you alluded to, the Tigers, I think that could be a good match for the Braves. I mean, I think a Lorenzen and a Lang package would really, you know, solve a lot of their, not problems because they're so great, but it would solve a lot of their depth. Maybe a couple thinness here and there. And then at the same time, the Tigers probably wouldn't really mind giving up a Lorenzen or a Lang because those are replaceable cats. I mean, I know Lorenzen's an all-star and Lang's been pitching well this year, but it's not like they'd be giving up some of their future guys like Riley Green or those types. So
I'll tell you another guy that I really like if they want to go to the other side of the mound, the left side of the mound, Brent Suter from Colorado, who used to be a Milwaukee Brewer. I like him a lot too. I'll tell you what, he could be a landing spot for your Cubs too, because I was doing some research today. He's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And there was a little rumor that the Cubs might be looking into Sutter as well. I'm not sure how deep that is or whatnot, but I heard his name float around the Cubs rumor mill as well.
Yeah, I think Kenyon Middleton is an interesting one to me for the White Sox, because I've always thought he's had pretty good stuff, and his numbers aren't terrible this year, but they don't blow you away. But that would be an interesting piece.
And, I mean, the Sox still have a ways to get. They've done a nice job of trading some guys so far, but they still have a lot of meat on that bone they could shave off. So they're going to be
White Sox, the Cardinals, I expect the Mets, I expect them all to be shucking and jiving towards the deadline.
Yeah, to me, if you're the Mets now, you put your foot over the line. You know, if you didn't trade Scherzer, that's one thing. But now that you did, you got to go all in to me.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to trade Verlander because of the stuff that I laid out in the first hour, just all the technical problems with his contract. But if you could somehow get him off the books, that would be the step in the right direction. To me, if you're the Mets and you've traded Scherzer to get Acuña's little brother, who, by the way, is not like he's 17, he's 21. He's good. But I don't think he's his brother, right? Although, man, does he look like a man. Have you seen his profile picture? He is a dead ringer. I mean, looks just like Ronald. But even though he's solid, he doesn't have the pop that Ronnie has. But if you're going to do that, you're going to get rid of Scherzer, pay half his salary to get a solid top 100 prospect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tear the whole damn thing down. Do an actual rebuild. Don't try to do this and then reload next year. No. Do an actual rebuild. Take a step back. Show the fans, hey, we tried it this way. It didn't work. So now we're going to try to do what the Cubs did years ago, what the Astros did, what the Braves did. It all reaped championships. If I'm a Mets fan, at that point, I'm like, you know what? Let's just sell.
Yeah.
Lock down Alonso. Keep him. I think you got to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
But sign Alonso. You're stuck with the shortstop.
Lindor.
Yeah, $300 million. You're stuck with that. But rebuild and get younger everywhere else. What is your walk-off? We got a jam.
My walk-off will be my lock. Cubs straight up, -120 home against the Reds tonight.
And so my walk-off will be Braves, Angels tonight. Maybe get some Shohei Ohtani in there. Maybe get a Braves win. 7:20 first pitch. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM if you're listening on the radio. Brian Snow Show is next, and we'll be back tomorrow live 3 to 5 as always. Find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Have a great one, Tones. We will see you. When's the next time you're back?
Friday, sir.
Friday. What the hell, man? I need to get that damn schedule. Monday and Friday? What the hell's that about? Who do you know that gave you such a good schedule?
I think you.
Oh, okay. All right, then. We'll be back in a little bit, y'all. Go Braves.
Go Braves.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern Sports.
Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
Can I get another cigarette, please? You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.